Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I tell you what a setup, what a backdrop, what a lineup. Big thanks to our friends here with the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, Ryan Hall and Gary Weens. Yeah, we have got quite the lineup for you on the show this morning. I've already been set up here for a couple of hours overlooking the beautiful rotunda of the Montana Capitol. I can see the Mansfield statue straight in front of me. Behind me are the flags out on the front steps of the Capitol. The snow was blowing sideways at about 5 o'clock this morning here in Helena. But now the snow has stopped here, at least at the Capitol, and the sky is opening up, and you can overlook the city as we speak. But we've got Gary Weens, the CEO of the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, joining us. All this ahead of Monday's Co-op Day at the Capitol event. Gary, great to have you on the show, and thanks for a great lineup here this morning.
Oh, you bet. Thank you, Aaron. We're excited to what you're doing there, and just really enjoying the conversations you're having with legislators. I especially appreciate the no BS talk that they make. It's just really refreshing.
You know, it's fun when you just open up the microphone and say, hey, what do you guys want to tell people across Montana? Because we'll have time to talk about what we want to talk about in the days and weeks ahead, but it's just a great opportunity to say, hey, you know, first couple of weeks of the session, what are you working on? What's going on? What are you hearing? And it's really cool to hear what all of them have to say. Co-op Day at the Capitol, tell us about Monday. A great opportunity for people to come interact with their lawmakers and see all the great co-op board members and more across the state.
Yeah, so, yeah, we've got Electric Co-op Day. I think it starts at 9. It's kind of when we're going to get underway. And, you know, we'll be serving lunch to the legislators and other staff in the Capitol. And it's, you know, just... And we'll have some booths there of several of our co-ops, kind of talking about the things they're working on and who they are. And by the way, I wanted to kind of explain to our folks who we are in Montana as electric co-ops. Many people may not be aware. So we've got 25 electric distribution co-ops that deliver electricity to homes and businesses. We serve in every single county. About 40% of the population of Montana gets their electricity from an electric cooperative, and we're consumer-owned, not-for-profit utilities, so very laser-focused on our communities because we're essentially owned by our communities.
That's right. Yeah, I'm a co-op member myself. You know, it's funny. I mean, where my wife and I live in the west end of Billings used to be considered more outside the city limits, but now given the growth in Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative country, I mean, it just massive growth. In fact, I think if I heard right from Ryan Hall last night, fastest growing co-op in the entire country is Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative, which is crazy. Yeah. But yeah, you got the middle school there, the grocery stores, neighborhoods sprouting up all over the place. Gary Weens, hold that thought. We got to take a quick break. More to follow with Gary Weens, the CEO of the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. We've also got State Senator Greg Hertz out of Polson, who just hopped up to the microphone. So we'll catch up with him after Gary. And yeah, just a great lineup all across the board. The Speaker of the House, the Senate President, several other members of leadership and more. And of course, our friends from the co-ops.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. How to cut federal spending and by how much consumes congressional Republicans right now. But a political firestorm is about to singe Capitol Hill. Expect staggering cost from the wildfires. Congress coughed up $100 billion just before Christmas to help victims recover from Hurricanes Helene and Milton. But Republicans now run Congress. President-elect Trump soon occupies the Oval Office. And when it comes to California and what may have sparked the fires, Republicans could be reluctant to assist. That's especially true as the mantra from Republicans is to slash $2 trillion in spending. In fact, there's fear among some Democrats that congressional Republicans and President-elect Trump may try to penalize California because it leans to the left. Republicans now run the House and Senate. Mr. Trump takes office next week. Quote, the idea that we're going to have an open checkbook no matter how bad your policies are is crazy, said Ohio Republican Congressman Warren Davidson on Fox Business. Democrats warned against partisan and regional discord when natural disasters strike. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
It's January 14th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Dress Up Your Pet Day. For many of us, our pets are family. So to show them your love, dress them up in people's clothes. Whether in a fireman's outfit or wearing a cape with goofy glasses, make sure to post a pic on social media. You'll love it, your pets will love it, and your friends will get a kick out of it. Also on this date, in 1943, President Franklin Roosevelt becomes the first president to travel by airplane as he flew from Miami to Morocco to take part in the Casablanca Conference during World War II. And President Jimmy Carter proposed that Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday become a holiday in 1979. If it's your birthday today, you share it with
Don't call it a comeback.
Hip-hop legend and actor LL Cool J, born in 1968, and actor Jason Bateman, born in 1969. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I'll tell you what, we just had a fascinating conversation just there during for a couple of minutes during the break with State Senator Greg Hertz talking about property taxes and how, hey, we lower property taxes for your electric utility, you get a lower electric bill. Imagine that. It all makes sense, doesn't it? Gary Weems is the CEO of the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Co-op Day at the Capitol is coming up Monday. Gary, talk a little bit about your legislative agenda, what you're focused on, and what you want to tell folks across Montana.
Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, our number one concern is wildfires. I think the California, Los Angeles situation has kind of really highlighted that for all Montanans, and that's certainly what we're really focused on this legislative session, along with other electric utilities in Montana. So just a little bit about that legislation. So more and more, the electric co-ops, actually all electric utilities, are investing in safety of their community as it pertains to wildfire risks. And right now we've got 16 of our 25 electric distribution co-ops have wildfire mitigation or wildfire prevention plans, where eventually all of them will have those. And those plans basically consist of, you know, identifying higher risk areas, continual inspection of facilities, vegetative management, like making sure you get rid of hazardous trees in the right of ways, upgrading electric facilities as needed to reduce risk of electric facilities that ignite a fire, implementing community outreach and public awareness programs to help people understand and know wildfire risks and the utilities plans and how they're going to communicate with the public during times of heightened wildfire risk, et cetera. And in return for this commitment, our legislation basically would focus the litigation on the extent to which the utility was actually responsible for the fire and whether it followed its wildfire prevention plan, as opposed to, you know, just automatically blaming the utility, even if a fire started a long way away from our utility's power line facilities. And the reason this is so important to us is we are very vulnerable to losing our wildfire liability insurance that we have. Our national insurer, which is actually owned by the electric co-ops across the nation, they're telling us that we're only one or two major wildfires away nationwide from losing wildfire liability insurance. And if that happens, if we just had one major fire in Montana that went through a co-op service area, it could easily bankrupt that co-op. And that means just basically a risk that the lights are going to go out. Or what could happen is because we're member-owned, member rates could go up substantially to pay for losses and that type of thing. So we've got to do something to balance the risk.
It would be just devastating. We've got enough fires to worry about here in our own backyard alone. But then you mentioned California. We actually ran into Jim Brown, the newly elected state auditor, last night. Ryan Hall and I ran into him, and we were talking about, man, we got to get him back on the show talking about California and fires and insurance rates, period, in Montana. Because it's a challenge across the board, because something bad happens in California or there's bad decisions in California. And for whatever reason, we get we have to pay based off of that as well. So trying to figure out how to separate ourselves from their insurance grid, so to speak, is something I know he's focused on.
That's exactly right. So, and, you know, the co-ops are working to harden their power facilities. You know, they're constantly, of course, all of them testing poles, replacing them if they're not in good condition, and, you know, so they don't fall down in the event of a fire. They do other things like put up a protective covering that keeps the fire away from those poles. More and more are doing that. Several have obtained federal infrastructure grants to bury power lines, upgrade substation equipment, et cetera. A couple of them are going to be installing utility scale batteries in areas that are vulnerable to power outages, you know, where there's less capability to reroute power line flow if a line goes down. So they're working really hard to invest in their communities and keep them safe from wildfires and power line areas.
Well, and also, you know, we've heard examples in the past of where an electric co-op or an electric utility might get blamed, even though they were trying to do the right thing. They were trying to cut down the trees to prevent, you know, to mitigate a fire from from happening in the first place. And the feds were the ones that said, nope, can't cut those trees. And then the feds come in and try to blame me. It's like, my goodness, let's just get a little more common sense here. Well, Gary, it's going to be a great event on Monday for Co-op Day at the Capitol. I'd encourage all of our listeners, if you won't be with me at the Trump inauguration in D.C., you know, the Montana lawmakers, they can't take a break. They got to keep rolling. They got 90 days. So the co-ops aren't taking a break either. That's why Co-op Day at the Capitol is taking place on Monday right here. So all your work starts at 9, but the lunch will start at 11. So,
that's right.
So it's going to be a great day of events. Gary Weems, thanks again for being with us.
You bet. Thanks, Aaron.
All right, I appreciate it. Okay, well, coming up right after the break, we'll jump right into it with State Senator Greg Hertz out of Polson. Ryan Hall with the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Yeah, tell us anything else you want to add about Co-op Day at the Capitol.
Again,
30 seconds to go here.
Yeah, I can certainly do that. We'll be down in the rotunda, 11 to 1. We serve hot Montana roast beef sandwiches, little lunch bags. We'll have tables set up so people can sit and talk about co-ops, talk with some legislators who usually stop by and hang out with us, and then also, like I said, their little lunch set, so if they have to go to meetings or caucuses or get back to their office, they can take it to go as well. So we encourage legislators, office staff, everyone, stop by, pick up a lunch, and say hello.
Co-op members like me, if we just show up, we can grab a little sack lunch, too.
There's certainly enough for everybody, especially on Monday.
We love a free lunch. We love a free lunch. Well, there's no such thing as a free lunch, but this is a good one. This is an important one. Okay, wait till you hear what Senator Hertz has to say right after this.
This Monday, President-elect Donald Trump will take the oath of office, becoming the 47th President of the United States. However, Inauguration Day hasn't always been on January 20th. Until 1933, presidents were sworn in on March 4th, a tradition that dates back to George Washington's second inauguration. Washington's first swearing-in took place on April 30th, 1789, at Federal Hall in New York City. In the 18th century, slow travel and communication made the delay in taking office practical. But by the 20th century, technological advancements and the urgency of the Great Depression prompted change. The 20th Amendment, ratified in 1933, moved inauguration day to January 20th. Franklin D. Roosevelt became the first president to take the January oath in 1937. Matt Murphy, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right. Well, we're going to jump right into it here. I know our time is short, but State Senator Greg Hertz out of Polson. Hey, you know the deal. You can call in anytime. You need a microphone. You give us a call. We can sneak you on. Senator Hertz, yeah, property taxes. Hey, we lower your property taxes. Okay, do that. Yes, good. But also, if we lower the property taxes for your electric utility, be it an electric co-op, be it a Northwestern Energy, be it whoever, ding, 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 you will get a lower electric bill. So it's almost like a win-win. It is a win-win.
It is, exactly, Aaron. And as property taxes go up for utilities or down, that's automatically passed through the consumer. You can see right on your bill. Some utility companies have it right on your bill. And I've seen some bills as much as 20% of their monthly bill is property taxes. So it really helps to reduce those property taxes. And that's one of the number one issues we're working here at the state is property taxes. Whether it's your residential property taxes, looking at a homestead reduction of 15 to 20%, businesses, allowing voters to look at levies every 10 years to revote those. And also, if voter turnout's less than 50%, looking at a 60% voter approval to get those levies passed. So a lot of things to control property taxes going forward.
Just saw State Senator John Fuller out of the Flathead give a nice salute as he passed by the third floor fan window hallway here. What a great location to be doing the show from this morning.
It's just so wonderful to be up here and the historic nature of the Capitol up here. I just feel myself lucky for all the years I've been able to serve up here.
And you've served in the House side. Your son did an incredible job serving on the House side. He was Missoula City Council as well. So the Hertz has been a great family name up here for a number of years now.
Yeah, my son Adam's great. I'm better known, since Adam's such a great legislator, I'm better known as Adam Hertz's father.
Yeah, so. That's right. Yeah. Well, he's got that caveman hairdo going right now, too. So you're a little more cleaned up.
Yeah, he does, you know. He's really a good guy, good kid, good businessman. You know, I love to have him as my son and my daughter-in-law and the grandkids. It's great.
Cool family. Yeah, I got a chance to have him on. We did a live show out on the town in Missoula last summer, and he came down and joined us. It was great. Any other big pieces of legislation you're working on that you want to get on folks' radar before we take our listeners to Missoula next?
Sure. So, you know, I'm working on obviously a lot of tax issues. Income taxes is one of my top priorities, and the governor's looking at cutting everybody's tax rate. I would really like to get a flat tax in Montana. I'm looking at working with the speaker at a 4.7% flat tax all across Montana. So really, really beneficial. And of course, I'm working on a lot of judicial issues too. So and housing issues. I touch a lot of legislation, probably be carrying 30 to 40 bills this session.
That's great. Well, keep cutting those taxes. It keeps working. We get more of our money left in our own pockets, and boom, Helena somehow still has these big budget surpluses. So it's like something works when you cut taxes, right? So do it again.
It does. Business is booming here in Montana, and we just need to make sure we keep it going.
All right, Senator Hertz, good to see you. I see Speaker of the House Brandon Lear coming around the corner right now, so we'll get to him in a second. But, yeah, let's take you to Missoula right now. We've got Mark Hayden. He is the general manager of Missoula Electric Cooperative. Mark, great to have you on the show. I know I get to see you at the Mecca meeting in Great Falls, and usually a couple other times throughout the year. So great to have you on the show.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me, and thanks for shining a bright light on Co-op Day at the Capitol on Monday, and for the conversations you've been having this morning. I've been tuned in since you came on the air, and it's great. It's a great conversation.
Well, you know, we were talking wildfire mitigation, wildfire insurance, and the risks on that front right now, especially in the wake of what I've referred to as the Battle of Los Angeles down there. But first, though, let's start. Missoula, man, Missoula just got hammered by those high winds. So did Miles City last year as well, but Missoula got hammered. So many trees that were knocked down, power lines that were knocked down. How is everything going after that massive wind event?
You know, 2024 was the year of storms in Missoula, and quite unprecedented. You know, we had three major storms, waves come through. And, you know, as challenging as those events were, I feel just as strongly about how our response was to those events, you know, from the support of our members, you know, our dedicated employees, and quite honestly, the response of our neighboring co-ops. You know, we came through it. It was challenging, but we're back to normal. And, you know, kind of happy to put the calendar to January and put that behind us.
Yeah, you know, I was talking with Carson Sweeney out of Fergus Electric earlier this morning. He said just last week they had 65-mile-an-hour winds, 20-inch snow drifts. But he said, you know, hey, we got lucky and didn't have any. Well, it's more than luck, but they didn't have any power outages, which is just crazy when you think about that. Ryan Hall here with the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association was just telling me, hey, when it comes to wildfire prevention, mitigation, cutting trees to keep things safe, he said, Missoula Electric Cooperative, really, you guys are leading the way.
You know, we're working hard. We put our wildfire mitigation plan in place in 2020, and you know, that's an ongoing plan, and we're working it hard from system hardening this time of year. We're getting ready for the next season, right? From aggressive inspections, veg management, the maintenance programs we do, community outreach, all those things that prepare us for fire season. But we're also working hard, you know, on our situational awareness when fire season arrives. From, you know, those events the last summer, there were red flag warnings attached to those, and making sure that our system is as ready as it can be and we respond accordingly, whether that's modifying our operations, making sure our crews aren't increasing the risk by being out in the right of ways during fire season. So yeah, we're working the plan, and we think it's a good one.
You got a pretty big crew coming over from Missoula for Co-op Day at the Capitol on Monday.
We do. We're looking forward to it, and you know, looking forward to a chance to visit with our elected representatives over there on some of the issues important to us.
All right. Well, have fun. I'm going to miss you Monday, but that's why we're here today, helping to get the word out ahead of time. I'll be back in D.C. for President Trump's inauguration, calling in from, not to rub it in or anything to anybody, but but hey, you guys got work to do here in Helena. So, you know, as much as there's other places people would sometimes want to be, this is where stuff really gets done, is here at the state level. Mark Hayden, great to have you on the show as always. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Aaron.
All right, appreciate it. Let's turn now. We've got Speaker of the House Brandon Lehr out of Savage, Montana. Mr. Speaker, first off, I got to say hats off. I know we caught up with you earlier this week with kind of a legislative update, but man, I'll tell you what, it's great to see House Republicans really held it together. I thought we might get a squish here or a squish there. Every single Republican backed House Bill 121. That was great.
Absolutely, and I am very proud of our caucus for sticking together on that. We worked hard. Everybody worked hard on it. Everybody's voice was heard. The concerns were met, and everybody at the end stuck together, and we got 58 Republicans. All 58 of us voted for it on second and third reading. So we did what we came here to do, and I'm happy that we were able to lead them in that direction.
On the energy front, what are you looking at in particular? There was a great back and forth with President Trump's energy secretary nominee, Scott Bessent, yesterday with Ron Wyden, Democrat senator out of Oregon. And they were talking, and Ron Wyden was like, we're losing the clean energy race to China. And Bessent's like, we're losing the energy race. Like, it's not a clean energy race. It's an energy race. They're building 100 coal-fired power plants.
Yes, absolutely. And obviously, Montana being so rich with natural resources, we need to make sure we're in all of the above state. You know, I know there's some angst against wind and solar, and I understand that. But, I mean, we need to be looking into them. But we also, like, need to be looking into making sure we're using everything else available we have. We have natural gas, and we have coal. And, I mean, we're just so rich with them that, I mean, we need to be using the resources we have here to make Montana, I mean, an exporter in energy.
And one of the concerns about that is this Held v. Montana, a crazy decision out of the Montana Supreme Court. I know, and they can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think even the electric cooperatives have some concerns about that implementation of something like that, because if there could be veto power over any energy project whatsoever, any power line, any substation. But I've heard from some of your lawmakers already earlier this morning that there are several bills you guys are looking at.
Yes, we've got a package of 4 or 5 bills that we're going to be bringing out here in the next couple of weeks, working with stakeholders and trying to get everybody's concerns on the table. And there will be a lot of them will be in direct correlation to what the decision came out with what the decision came out and held.
I don't know if you heard. No, because you were on. Let's see. We had John on Wednesday. So
correct.
Thursday, I had a Democrat Minority Whip, Jonathan Carlin, Democrat out of Missoula, on the show. And he said, well, we've got this massive budget surplus. And I was like, isn't that interesting? You cut taxes last session, Republicans did. You cut taxes the session before. And ding, 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 ding. Still another budget surplus. Imagine that.
Absolutely. And we're also looking into that. I mean, one of the big things that we want to push is, getting to a flat income tax, seeing what we can do with property tax. I know there's a couple bills starting over here in the Senate with property taxes. And we have the Homestead, Comstead, Eggstead in the House that we're starting over there. And them bills will be dropping. I know that the Homestead, Comstead bill was dropped, I believe, yesterday. And so we'll be hearing that, I imagine, next week, if not right shortly the week after. And we'll have a few income tax bills we're going to drop, too. Just trying to work with that. And you're absolutely right. The less taxes people pay, the more people want to come here, the more work gets driven into the state of Montana. And that just helps the state collect a little bit more revenue. So
you talk about dropping taxes. Hey, one of your neighbors in Savage, Montana, our friend Tim from Savage, he's been doing Billings Last Diet. I want to let all our folks across Montana know that. He reached his goal. He lost 75 pounds thanks to Billings Last Diet. So he said, why don't I go for 85 pounds? He's like, this has been great. I'm going to go for 85 pounds. He did it through Billings Last Diet. I lost the weight thanks to Billings Last Diet. You can, too. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com. You don't have to live in Billings. They have a remote option. That's why the guy out there in Mondakistan can take advantage of the program. BillingsLastDiet.com. Back right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, I'm hoping we can sneak him in as well. Representative Hinkle, Jed Hinkle. I saw Caleb yesterday, Representative Jed Hinkle. Because, yeah, somebody called in. Who was it? Was it Kevin in Billings called in and said, hey, what's the story with this mule deer bill? Do they not trust the FWP commission, or what's the story there? And that's exactly the bill that Representative Hinkle wants to talk about. Let's go back to Speaker of the House, Brandon Lehr, here in the meantime. Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I know we're going to try to set up maybe a weekly legislative update with you through your crew as well. But we were talking during the break. I remember back in the day where it just seemed like Eastern Montana, rural Montana in general, but Eastern Montana in particular, got ignored, to where Helena was almost a bad word in Eastern Montana, because it just seemed like nobody in Helena, meaning the state government, cared about what was going on in Eastern Montana. By the way, Tim and Savage just said, good morning, Mr. Speaker. Proud of the great work of the Montana House under your leadership. So from one Savage to another. But yeah, just talk about that, just how Eastern Montana really did used to get ignored. That ain't happening anymore.
Yeah, and you were absolutely correct. We were treated as flyover country for, it seemed like, quite a few years. And Governor Gianforte running around doing his 56-county tour, he always makes sure he stops in, whether that's Dawson County, Weibo County, Richland County, a lot of the areas right around home there. And he makes sure that our voices are heard and the policies that we're after, he's at least knowledgeable about. And also with our attorney general, I mean, he's just 35, 40 miles up the road from me. So we got a lot of statewide office holders that are, from Eastern Montana and know where Eastern Montana is.
That's right. And they don't just go back once a year, fly in, fly out to say that they were there, check the box.
Yeah.
No questions, no back and forth, nothing. They actually spend some time on the ground.
Yeah. No, and it's nice to have. It is really nice to have, because, I mean, with the way our elections are set up, I mean, we all have to represent in the House anyway, 11,500 people, and there's about half the state that only has 10 representatives, landmass-wise, and so we got to come up here and make our voices heard, too. So, and it's nice to have the second floor and the Attorney General knowing at least where we're at to give us a little bigger voice.
Representative Jerry Schillinger, out of Circle, I like his name tag. It says seven counties.
Yeah.
But then Ryan Hall with the Montana Electric Cooperatives actually pulled up the co-op map too. And he said, oh yeah, you cover seven different electric cooperatives as well. That's how big his land mass is.
Yep. Yeah. He's got quite the district. He runs from pretty much Fort Peck Lake to the Wyoming border. It's a pretty big one.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Speaker, great to see you as always. And we'll figure out a time and a day to do for our weekly update with you as well.
Absolutely. Appreciate what you do, Aaron.
All right. Hey, thank you so much. Thanks for being with us. Let's see. Yeah, let's sneak him on. We should have First Lady Susan Gianforte with us here in just a second. But, hey, we also want to, as we see lawmakers pass through the hallways, try to sneak them on real quickly as well. Representative Jed Hinkle out of the Gallatin Valley did such an incredible job in the last session. He's back at it again this session along with his brother, Caleb. Good to see you. Yeah, so I forget who the caller was, but they called and they said, hey, what's the story with this? They said, hey, what's the story with this mule deer bill? And that's a bill you're carrying. So what's Correct. The story with this mule deer bill?
Yeah, so earlier this summer, it kind of blew up online. There's a certain group. It's a very organized group. I believe there's money behind it. They have a lobbyist now. And they are proposing to get rid of the rut hunt, the mule deer rut hunt, completely take mule deer hunting out of November was their original proposal and put it into the month of October. Everyone knows that the mature deer don't come out in October. They're nocturnal. They're up high. They're difficult to get. So, I'm a taxidermist and I interviewed about 25 of my customers and said, do you guys know anything about this? What are your thoughts on it? Out of 25, I had one person that said that they agreed with that and they were recently from out of state in a state that never had the tradition of hunting mule deer in November. Now, hunting bucks is not how you, or limiting buck hunting is not how you manage herds. You manage it with antlerless, the does, and you limit that if you want to bring your herds back. So really what this is a trophy, the trophy perspective piggybacking off of decreased population. So the way I designed the bill is just to protect that rut hunt. The commission can do under the way the bill is written, the commission can do everything that they have historically done to manage mule deer in Montana or manage bucks or even manage for trophy. And they can go way further in tools that they have never even used before. So I drafted the bill to give the commission basically their full authority. The only thing that they really can't do is completely take away our tradition that we've had. Fish and Game said maybe at the turn of the century did they limit buck hunting statewide before, but 115 years and nothing has happened. So that's what it is. It's just a protection bill for our opportunity to take our kids out and enjoy we've enjoyed.
Kind of putting a left-right limit in, and then correct. The commission can figure out all the other details, but hey, let's at least protect this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great explanation. That's what's about. That bill number again?
It's House Bill 139.
House Bill 139, yeah, and I can't remember if it was Kevin or who it was that called, and maybe Mike and Big Timber, but yeah, appreciate you. Yeah, jumping in for the show today.
All
and,
right.
Hey, call in anytime. And after next week when I get back from the Trump inauguration and the SHOT Show in Vegas, you know, we'll have a lot of open phones time and always great for the lawmakers to call in, especially when you know, some of your bills are seeing action in committee or on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Aaron.
Hey,
appreciate
great to
it.
See you. Thank you so much. Okay, we should have with us now on the phone lines, First Lady Susan Gianforte. Susan, hope you can hear me. How are you doing, Susan?
I can. Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good morning. First off, I didn't get a chance to go. My wife Jessica was there, though. I heard you just had an incredible inaugural ball reception the other evening here in Helena. And apparently some really fun news was broke at that reception as well.
Yes. As you know, Imagination Library of Montana, a free book program. We reached 26,500 kids as of December 1st. That's 45% of all eligible kids are getting a book delivered to their home every month.
Well,
after being a year and a half of statewide availability.
It's crazy. And just how efficient this is. I mean, for just a few dollars a month, these kids are able to get these books in hand delivered to their homes. And, you know, the last time I talked about this on the air, I was talking about, hey, you know, the First Lady Susan Gianforte partnering with Dolly Parton. And I had one of our listeners in the Flathead send us a message on our Montana Talks app, and he said, you know what else is great about this program? The books that my kids are getting, I'm checking them out. I'm reading them to my kids. They're all good, wholesome books. You know, because anymore, you can't even turn on the TV, even on a supposed family channel, and you're like, whoa, what are they putting in front of kids these days? These are wholesome books that you're getting out in front of kids.
They are. And the books change every year. A couple are the same, but I look at the book list every year, and I investigated that before I signed up with the Dollywood Foundation for this free, high-quality, age-appropriate books. It's 0 up to 5, and they're delivered to each child's home or P.O. box.
That's great. But the big news that came out, and by the way, if they got their December edition of the Rural Montana Magazine, I got my copy. They had a great write-up on your program and more. But Dolly Parton, the country music legend you've been partnering with for this program, she's actually coming to Montana, apparently.
Yes, I am nailing down a date. I didn't know which. To me, the big news is how many kids are getting books. But very excited that we are Montana's number one on the list for Dolly Parton to set a date to celebrate the statewide rollout. And we are looking at late August, but I do need a call. She is a very busy woman. She has a lot of projects and does a lot of good work as well. So it's very exciting, though.
Well, keep us posted, because it'd be fun to come do the show from, you know, a location, on location, wherever the events might be, and get her on the show, on the show, you name it.
That would be fantastic.
Well, what's it just like for you? Let me look at my time clock here. I think we've got about 1 minute before our next break here. What's it like for you being first lady for another 4-year term?
It is so great to be side by side with my husband, Greg, the governor, and just travel the state and meet Montanans. People are like, you get tired of traveling or campaigning. And I'm like, we drive around Montana visiting with Montanans. What could be better than that? It's absolutely wonderful. We have the best people in the state.
It just energizes you, doesn't it? It's just reinvigorating every time. I get the same way. I mean, I get to talk to a lot of Montanans on the phone lines for a show like this. But last year, I got out and traveled a bunch. And, yeah, it's a lot of work. But, man, the great people that you meet on the way, it just gives you a boost of optimism for this country.
Yeah, it would be. Am I coming back after the break? Otherwise, I want to get the sign-up info, like right now.
I'll get you after the break. Yeah, if you can. Okay, great. Stand by. Yep, and because people are probably wondering how they can sign up their kids for this program. So stand by. First Lady Susan Gianforte. We'll come back to you right after this.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
They were not particularly kind to Pam Bondi, but she absolutely destroyed Adam Schiff. And she just kept pointing out things like 72% of Americans have lost faith in the DOJ because of people like you, basically. What really came out and really was just in the forefront, and I love when she said the crime rate in his state of California is 87% above the national average, and then said, you know, he was the one that was censured by the Congress, not Pam Bondi, one of the biggest congenital liars, conspiracy theorist peddlers in the country. Or Blumenthal implying that Pam Bondi was lying. This is the guy that lied about Vietnam. That was Blumenthal that did this.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, ready for a home upgrade without the hassle? You want to give your home a fresh look in 2025 with new custom window treatments? Check in with our friends at Blinds.com, where real professional design experts make the complex very simple for you. If you have a complicated project, no worries, no problem. Blinds.com, they make it simple. Their designers can schedule a complimentary professional measure for you. You can shop from the comfort of your home. They'll even send samples to your door fast and free. You can choose from stylish Roman and woven wood shades. They have their shutters, their motorized options, which I love, and much more. And with Blinds.com, you don't wait around for an in-home consultation just to get a quote. Blinds.com has covered more than 25 million windows, all backed by 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45% off on select styles. Plus a complimentary professional measure, up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Check it out today.
Okay. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Fox on Football. I'm Jared Max. Only 7 games left in the NFL season. NFC divisional playoff game Saturday on Fox in Detroit between the Lions and the Washington Commanders, who were fresh off beating the NFC South champion Buccaneers last weekend in Tampa. Detroit has not played since 2 weeks ago. As the Lions earned a first-round playoff bye, they're favored to beat the Commanders by 2 scores. Kickoff on Fox, 8 p.m. Eastern Saturday. The winner will advance to the NFC Championship game against the winner of Sunday's contest in Philadelphia between the Eagles and Los Angeles Rams. The Eagles beat the Packers last week by 12 points before the Rams crushed the Vikings by 18. Divisional playoffs start Saturday afternoon in Kansas City, where the 2-time reigning Super Bowl champion Chiefs will host the Houston Texans. The winner will move to the AFC title game against the winner of Sunday night's premier matchup in Western New York between MVP candidate quarterbacks Josh Allen of the Bills and Lamar Jackson of the Ravens. Jared Max, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a quick few minutes left in this hour of the show. We got a big hour coming up in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Legislative leaders and more. First Lady Susan Gianforte. Yeah, tell people across Montana, if they haven't gotten their kids signed up yet for this program, how they can sign them up. And then also talk a little bit about the benefits you're seeing for Montana kids.
At imaginationlibrary.com, parents, guardians, relatives, aunts, grandparents, even close family friends that have the child's birthday name and address can sign a child up. And children, when they get to kindergarten, are ready to read and ready to learn, is what we hear from kindergarten teachers where kids have been read to in the home. And it is such a bonding experience between the parent or guardian and the child. Or I heard a story last week about an 8-year-old sibling reading to their 2-year-old sibling. Just what a joy that was for both. And it's just absolutely wonderful. And I want to thank the electric co-ops. There were 3 of them that were early adopters before the statewide rollout. And then we've had more come on board to support financially and do outreach. So I want to thank the electric co-ops for their coming alongside as partners of Dolly Parton's Imagination Library of Montana.
Yeah, that's great. And of course, today's show is brought to you by the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, getting the word out about Monday's co-op day at the Capitol event. Great folks. They really are just dialed in with their communities to help promote great causes just like yours. First Lady Susan Gianforte, will we see you at the Trump inauguration as well? I know the governor's going to be there.
Absolutely. That one I'll be at. All I didn't get to go to Mar-a-Lago, but I'm going to the inauguration.
yeah, sure. He'll take you to D.C., but not to Florida. Thanks a lot, right?
he was constrained. That was the invite.
That's true. Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be Montana football weather, probably about 20 degrees or so, but I hope we run into you. Again, First Lady Susan Gianforte, great to catch up with you as always.
Thank you. I hope we see you in D.C. as well.
All right. Okay. Yeah, Tuesday we'll be broadcasting live from Congressman Ryan Zinke's office on Capitol Hill. Today we're at the Montana Capitol 3rd floor fan window location. We got another lawmaker that just popped up to the microphone, State Senator Denley Logie out of St. Regis, Montana. Hey, great to see you. I know our time is short. What do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, my occupation through life has pretty much been transportation. I plowed snow up on Lookout Pass for 28 years. And just wanted people to know what, in that interest, we have a lot of other topics around the state. But one of the things in transportation we're trying to do, we have a lot of autonomous vehicles coming into play. And so I've got a bill that came out of our Transportation Interim Committee, and there's one on the House side, too. And one deals with platooning trucks. Right now, we don't have anything in Montana that that states a regulation or permits. So actually a truck, what they do sometimes, they'll have a lead truck, a semi, and the second truck and third truck can drive without a driver.
Wow.
And without any safety regulations, that we're just trying to come up with some guidelines, not necessarily to stop it, but to have the safety guidelines. And the other thing is dealing with automated cars. We have five steps of automation on vehicle cars, and we're trying to come up with some guidelines there as well so that we have some safety, especially the fully autonomous without even a driver's seat.
Platooning trucks, I mean, it's almost like it brings a whole new meaning to designate a driver.
It sure does. We have the front truck would run, a second one would have just run by the computer off the first truck.
Interesting stuff. At some point, we need to get you back on the show to talk about that for a little bit longer amount of time, because it's fascinating stuff, the technology. All right, Senator Logan, great to see you. Sorry we're so short on time. We're going to take a quick break. We are broadcasting live from the Montana Capitol. Got a big lineup coming up next hour as well.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Most states have a dominant urban area. In Washington, it's Seattle or King County. And just about everything about the economy there is hugely different from the rest of the state. Incomes, housing prices, and growth. Montana doesn't follow that mold. Our bigger cities are closer to being equal sized. But the differences across the state, especially when it comes to growth, are no less dramatic. Unlike the children in Garrison Keillor's fictional Lake Wobegon, not all counties in our state can be above average when it comes to growth. But the speed at which some western and southwestern counties are diverging from the slower-growing Highline and eastern Montana counties is cause for concern. To take the most extreme example, over a five-year period since 2018, Gallatin County, which includes Bozeman, grew by more than 8% per year. On the other end of the spectrum, some of the more populous Highline and eastern counties have averaged negative growth. It's hard to strike a common theme and to have common interests when the gap in fortunes is so wide. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.